leaving me with the tough part, right? No, thank you, John, for reading that. Well, as you heard, this morning is going to be a little bit more of a difficult subject. This morning, the little subject called humility. And as you heard John read, it quotes what's known as the Christ hymn or the Christ poem, which effectively is probably one of the early songs in the early Christian church that Paul is quoting. And it effectively lays out Jesus' life, how Jesus came and humbled himself to the point of death, death on the cross, and then how he was highly exalted and lifted back up because of his obedience. And that's what Paul is focusing in on this morning, because like in his time, just as in our time, humility is not exactly celebrated. If you think about it, you look at the news, you see things as it happens around you. What matters is who's greater, who has more power, who's better, who has more, right? And if you do have the power, then you have to marginalize the people who don't. I mean, that's the way of the world, right? It's the power struggle. It's what we see. But what Paul is saying, because I mean, it's human sin. It's just the same as it was in Paul's day. Paul is saying, no, that's not what we as Christians are called to. We're called to live a new life. So if you want to pull up that first slide, Paul writes, we should do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourselves. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of, the Greek literally says a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of this, God exalts him, so that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. So Paul is reminding us that we as Christians, which literally means little Christs, are called to live just as Jesus did, living in that humility. If you want to pull up the next slide. So Paul says, therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, I want to pause here for a second. We think grumbling and disputing is kind of this outward thing, like, I don't know, whatever, I'm not sure I want to do this. What Paul is actually referring to is inward grumbling. So, like, on the surface, you might be serving, but inwardly, you might be thinking, this is beneath me. I don't feel like I want to be doing this. Like internal grumbling and effectively a rebellion toward God because you're saying this is beneath me. But it's an internal thing. So it's something others might not hear, but you're saying to yourself. And Paul is saying we should do all things without doing this. So in other words, truly emptying ourselves of pride and the stuff of this world. So true humility is not that inward rebellion, so that we may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. What Paul is saying again is it's our society that is so focused on greatness and power. That's the twisted generation. And he's calling us to live differently than that. Because then he says, because among whom you shine as lights in the world, in this world that celebrates power and authority and greatness and who's better and who has more. He's saying, no, you need to be a light, that you're different, that you humble yourself, that you truly empty yourself of all the stuff of the world and you only care about what God wants and you only care about him. I don't know about you, that gets awful hard, doesn't it? True humility, true emptying ourselves, true letting go of all the world and all the things that we seek after, accolades, feathers in our cap, whatever you want to call it, is hard. Back when I was in college, I worked in the summer conferences on campus. myself and another student, we were the main people who the groups would check in with. We would facilitate things with them. We'd meet with the groups, the leaders of the groups on the, who were coming, and making sure that they had everything they need, whether it was an airport run, whether it was rooms on campus, food, whatever they needed, we were there to connect with them, coordinate with them, make sure everything was ready for them, and then be their point of contact on campus if they needed something. And we even had to carry a radio around with us all the time for emergencies. So this one group that I remember meeting with was a Christian group, and they were having a conference, and their last day was on a Saturday. But as it turned out, the cleaning committee, or the people who were hired on campus to clean, were only going to be available at the very beginning of the morning and the end of the day to clean up when they were done. And so as part of laying everything out, I remember we talked about that with them, and that was fine. But Saturday, in the middle of the day, all of a sudden I get this radio emergency, and I have to come running down. And as I come down, the leader of the conference is standing there with her arms crossed with a small spill of coffee at her feet. And she says, where are the people who clean? And I'm like, well, they're not here right now. They'll be here when the event is over. And she said, okay, well, then you need to clean this up right now. And I didn't know where the cleaning closet was. I didn't know, and I didn't even have the key to get in it. And so I'm trying to figure out what to do because there really aren't towels around. So I run into the women's room. I grab a bunch of paper towels. I come back out, and she's still standing there with her arms crossed expectantly, like, get this done. So I get down on my knees. I clean the floor. She's still standing there. In my mind's eye, I can still see her feet. And I get back up, and she looks, and she walks away. She never thanked me, never said anything other than that. So I'll admit, in my head, I just kept thinking, how dare she? And I'm my head, I'm just thinking all this stuff about her, right? Who does she think she is? What is she making me do? What? And all this dialogue is going on. But here's the thing. As a Christian leader, was she right to do what she did? No. We're called to be servants to one another, right? That was not exactly being a servant. It was you serve me, right? But I was in the wrong too. Because as Paul said, we are called to do all things without grumbling or disputing in a rebellion, right? Guess what I was doing? Oh, I was rebelling. I was. And the Holy Spirit showed me that. So true humility is hard. At one point, we have been in either of those places, right? Either we've been at a place, maybe it's a restaurant, wherever, where we're sitting there thinking, well, you better serve me, you better take care of this, right? Or we've been in the place where we're serving, but inwardly we're thinking, this is beneath me, why am I doing this, right? If we're honest, we've all been in both places. And so what Paul is saying about true humility is really hard. And honestly, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit, without his help. But Paul does lay out an important warning to us. If you want to pull up the next slide. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. What he's saying here is that the cross of Christ is ultimately true humility, the humility we are called to show. And if we don't, we become enemies of the cross of Christ because we aren't living in the humility we are called to live in. And he goes on to say, their end is destruction, their God is their belly. In other words, we, if we aren't living in humility, become focused on ourselves, what's in it for me, what do I get out of this? He says, we go on that they glory in their shame. In other words, focusing on greatness and I'm better than this. That's shame that we're living in. And with minds set on earthly things, the stuff of the world. Who's greater? Who has more power? What do I deserve? Our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, what he's telling us is we are called to a different way of life. So if you pull up that next slide, Paul has every reason to brag and have accolades in the stuff of this world. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was incredibly intelligent. He knew his Bible backwards and forwards, and he was zealous. He was excited to serve and to show that if somebody wasn't in line with the Jewish traditions, he was on it, man. And that's why he became a persecutor of the Christian church, because these early Christians were Jewish, and they were doing the wrong thing in the Jewish eyes. And so Paul was a guy who, he was the enforcer. He knew this stuff. But what he's saying is, whatever I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. He's realizing all these accolades, all these things he had. As he goes on, and I'm going to skip a line, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. He even uses this word filth effectively. In fact, it's a pretty crass word in the Greek, but he's just saying it's filth. The stuff of this world, the accolades, the greatness, the power, the things we all strive after is filth. It doesn't matter in the long run. Nothing matters but God. And he's saying, throw that stuff away. I do this in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death by any means possible, that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, throw it all down. Nothing else matters. And your relationship with him, where you are with him. Which is also why he says we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be oriented in the right way, with the right things, or it can be our destruction. So go to the next slide. How do we do that? Paul says, one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call is our new identity, that we are called to be a new creation in him by the power of his Holy Spirit. He is saying, press in on that new identity, embrace it. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters but that. Throw it all away, consider it filth, strive to be like Christ, to embrace the Holy Spirit, to let him change you from the inside out. Nothing else matters. Let those of you who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. In other words, he's saying the Holy Spirit is there alongside us to show us where we fail, where we miss, where we forget, where we struggle. The Holy Spirit is there to gently say, no, here, let me help you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. You know, the thing is, humility is hard, and I'd love to tell you that in the church, and every church I've been a part of and seen, that you see humility on display. But if we're honest, we don't. We struggle with it. It's hard. And in every church I've been a part of, usually more the senior generation looks down on the youth and says, you guys better serve us. When, if you think about it, and I'm getting enough gray hair, I can start putting myself in that category now. We need to be serving the younger generation and modeling what it means to live in humility, to display that so they can grow in it too. And honestly, generations should all be serving each other. We all need to be serving each other. That is what we're called to. Paul, if anyone had any reason to be grumbling in his situation, as Mike mentioned last week, he was chained to a guard. I mean, 24/7. He's constantly chained to this guard. No freedom, right? He could have looked at his situation and said, oh God, what have you done to me? Why? Why is it? No. Do you know what he did? He rejoiced. He rejoiced because the Holy Spirit helped him to see that his situation was there so that he could be a testimony to the guy he was chained to. That the guy he's chained to looks at him and sees him singing and praising God in his circumstance. And the guy he's chained to is going, what the heck is wrong with this guy? Why is he doing that? Do you know what's going on here? You're chained, you're in prison. What are you doing? But no, Paul is a light. He's reflecting the light that we too are called to reflect. That in the power of the Holy Spirit and how he was changed, he could see things differently. And in the world might see it as failure, Paul is seeing it as, no, God put him here for an opportunity to serve him and to be a witness to this guy he's chained to. And friends, that is what we are called to in our circumstances. Whatever you're going through right now, I'm pretty sure you're not chained to somebody because you're here. But whatever is going on that maybe you're struggling with, that you just don't know, God is in it. He's doing something in it, and he wants you to know what it is. He wants to help you through it. He wants to empower you through it so that if you can pull up this next slide, we can rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's with you. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we press in, when we ask God, help me, change me, fill me with your Spirit, this is what happens. We rejoice. Our lives are changed. We see things differently. Only as God can show us. We see our circumstances differently. And if we struggle, we give it all to him in prayer and thank him because we know he's going to be at work and is at work, and he is going to do something great. That is how we are called to live. It's how Paul lived. And Paul is saying, you can live this way too. Let the stuff go of the world and press in on God. Let him change you. Because ultimately, what Paul is saying is all life is a gift. Every moment of every day, pure gift. So pull up the last slide. He's telling us, no matter the circumstances, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Orient yourself for the citizenship of heaven. Think about the good things. There's so much bad in the world, and you turn on the news, and that's all you see, right? But no, this says, orient yourself toward God. Let him show you what he's doing. Let him change your thoughts and orient your mind and heart to what he wants you to be focusing on. And then he says, whatever you've learned, received, or heard, or seen in me, Paul's saying, hopefully I'm an example. Hopefully I'm living this. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That is our promise. When we press on, when we focus in on Christ and him alone and our identity, the only identity that matters, no accolades, nothing except that you are a child of God. That is the only thing that matters. And that you press on that, you focus on that, you let him change you, and you can live the way he calls you to live. He's right there with you. For Paul, our lives should represent Christ, humility, and then being raised up in the new life that he is giving us. Paul kept moving, even in prison, and he was in prison a number of times, because of his awareness that Jesus' love and presence was right there with him. He knew it. He felt it. And that gave him hope and helped him to live as he was called to live in humility. And finally, what Paul is showing us in this letter to the Philippians is that knowing Jesus is transformative. When we lean in, when we press in on him, he changes us. And it is deeply personal. He is right there with you. So let us pray. Dear God, we struggle so much with the things of this world, the things that pull us, the things that ultimately are filth that we just aren't supposed to care about, but it gets us so tied up in knots. And God, you are saying we are called to something different. We are citizens of heaven, not of this world. And so, God, help us. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to be oriented where you want us to be. Help us to embrace your love, your spirit, how you want to change our hearts and minds to love and serve you and be truly humble, to empty ourselves of pride and all those things that take us down and remove us from you. Lord, the only accolade, the only status we should crave and press on toward is being your child. Help us, Lord, to focus on that. Change our hearts to be like you. Empty us, help us to empty ourselves and focus only on you. And help us to see our situation in our lives as you do. Help us to rejoice and find your peace in all circumstances, giving thanks and praise to you and giving everything to you. We give it all to you, Lord. Take our lives that we may serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.